brought to you by the Cannabis Bee Network.
Here is the Cannabis Entrepreneur Show with your host, Scott Jacobs.
Hello, listeners. How's it going today? This is the Cannabis Entrepreneur News, episode 011-327-2014. Let's roll into article number one. Marijuana industry delegations pitch on legalized pot. It's good for business. Take it away.
Marijuana industry delegations pitch on legalized pot. It's just good business. By Holly Yeager. Source, Washington Post. The delegation from the National Cannabis Industry Association made a point of dressing well for its day on Capitol Hill, sporting mostly dark suits, lots of ties and plenty of the group's signature lapel pins, which feature a sun rising over vibrant fields of marijuana. Marijuana advocates have come to lobby Washington before, often to argue for more lenient treatment under federal law. But on Thursday, buoyed by a flurry of state decisions that have expanded the legal use of marijuana, the cannabis crowd came less as social activists than as entrepreneurs, asking Congress to remove some of the obstacles that stand in the way of their fledgling businesses. They met with staff members to ask for changes to the tax code, which prohibits the businesses from taking standard deductions for expenses. And they huddled in congressional offices to make the case for other changes that would encourage banks to work with legal cannabis businesses. If their aims seemed mundane, even technical, it was a measure of how far the marijuana movement has come in just a few years. Medical marijuana is now legal in 20 states and the District of Columbia. Last year, Colorado and Washington State made marijuana fully legal for adults, and similar efforts are gathering steam elsewhere in the country. Colorado collected about $2 million in marijuana taxes in January, the first month that sales for recreational use were permitted, a detail that was mentioned often Thursday. A tipping point. This is an issue that is absolutely at its tipping point, Chelling DeLake, a longtime Democratic pollster, said at a Hill briefing organized by the group in a formal room that is usually home to the House Budget Committee. She cited recent polling that shows that younger voters are the strongest supporters of legalizing marijuana, but that backing for legalization is increasing among people of all ages. The group also heard from Reps. Earl Blumen R. Dior, Dana Rarabacher R. Califf, and Jared Polis D. Coldo, each of whom spoke out in support of some of an array of proposed marijuana-related legislation. They also lamented that Congress has not kept up with the pace of change in the states. "We're in this never-never land on Capitol Hill," Blumenauer said. "But we're watching the rest of America march forward." The Cannabis Association, founded in 2010, counts about 550 member businesses across the country and recently hired its first full-time Washington lobbyist. Fewer than 10 people participated in its first Washington event, in 2011, and last year, about 45 members flew in for Hill meetings. Countering perceptions. The industry, now more than ever, operates in an unusual space, legally permitted in some states while largely outlawed at the federal level. This week, with some 55 cannabis industry professionals meeting with congressional officials, the group hoped to underscore the role of small businesses in the fast-growing industry and to counter popular perceptions of the drug and its users. "We're not the typical face of marijuana," said Dorian Deslauriers of Franklin, Mass., an entrepreneur and co-founder of a new laboratory that will test medical marijuana. Deslauriers, wearing a blue suit and a tie with an American flag design, said he had used his meetings with congressional staffers to talk about Section 280E of the tax code, which prohibits companies involved in drug trafficking from deducting normal business expenses that other legal businesses can claim. "The higher tax burden he faces makes it harder to hire workers," Deslauriers said. He added that some congressional staff members he spoke with seemed receptive to the group's proposal, which would allow standard business deductions and tax credits for marijuana-related businesses that comply with state laws. The group's other top concern is the limited access to banks that many legal cannabis businesses face, forcing them to operate in cash. Some have trouble getting financing and can't even maintain checking accounts. Last month, the Obama administration gave the banking industry the green light to do business with legal marijuana sellers, part of a push to open up banking access for the industry. But the Cannabis Association said federal regulations still require financial institutions to undertake special monitoring of cannabis-related customers to see whether they might be in violation of other laws, making banks hesitant to take on such customers. Legislation backed by the group would provide a legal safe harbor for institutions working with legal cannabis businesses. "There are small details that need to be taken care of," said John Davis, co-owner of the Northwest Patient Resource Center, a medical marijuana dispensary in Seattle. Polis, an outspoken supporter of legalization efforts, provided one bit of intrigue during the mostly serious briefing. Asked how many of his colleagues use marijuana, Polis didn't hesitate to hazard a guess. "I don't think more than 5 or 10, he said. "But I really wouldn't know because I haven't seen them use it." He then took a more scientific approach, suggesting that members of Congress really are like everybody else. "Remember the demographics," said Polis, 38. "I don't know what percentage of 60-year-olds use marijuana, but it's probably similar in Congress."
Article number 2, The Economy of Pot. Take it away.
The Economy of Pot. By Casey Quinlan. Source, U.S. News Yahoo. It doesn't matter if it's indica or sativa. It all sells out by the end of the day. Tony Fox, the owner of 3D Cannabis Center near downtown Denver, is overwhelmed with the demand created by the state's new recreational marijuana law. She says the store pulls in $20,000 a day in sales and made $40,000 on January 1st, the day licensed shops began selling recreational marijuana to people aged 21 and older. The majority of Fox's customers are from out of state. On Saturdays, they may wait 20 minutes to purchase marijuana, and limos and charter buses pull up 5 times a day. Fox is hiring more staff and building new rooms in her store to meet demand, and she eventually aims to open 2 more locations. She's also leasing 1.35 acres of farmland 3 hours away in Chaffee County, building hoop houses and greenhouses for cannabis cultivation. With marijuana now legal in Colorado and Washington and tourism booming, investors and financial pundits are wondering how fast the marijuana industry will grow and if it could become national. The ArcView Group, a San Francisco-based investing and market research firm for high-net-worth investors, estimates the national legal market including recreational and medical marijuana at $1.53 billion in 2013 and expects it to grow to $2.57 billion by the end of 2014, with marijuana sales in Washington and Colorado pulling in $316 million and $802 million, respectively. ArcView says the national market could reach $10.2 billion in 5 years. Legalization is already attracting a slew of investor interest, mostly in penny stocks, low-priced, thinly traded shares that are generally considered speculative investments, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission. These companies, which sell everything from hemp-based health products to e-cigarettes, aim to capitalize on the burgeoning marijuana industry. Growing pains. The industry faces some significant challenges, which investors should be aware of before jumping into pot stocks. Banks have been reluctant to provide loans to marijuana dispensaries, and interstate trade is illegal, allowing little room for expansion. Even in states where recreational marijuana is legal, there are considerable obstacles. For example, Washington's Liquor Control Board stipulates that companies cannot have more than 3 marijuana processor licenses and more than 3 retail store licenses. The state also imposes a 25% excise tax, and stores must be 1,000 feet away from schools, recreational centers, public transit centers and other facilities. And in both Colorado and Washington, marijuana can only be purchased with cash. In Kirkland, Wash, Jamin Shively, a former Microsoft executive turned cannabis entrepreneur, founded Diego Pellicer, a premium cannabis brand. Shively, who plans to open a retail location this summer, says he envisions his future customer base as well-educated, wealthy, older people who are looking to unwind in their retirement years. "I don't want it to be known as a brand just appealing to young people," Shively says. He aims to eventually open many stores under the Diego Pellicer brand, but 3 is currently the maximum according to state law. With expansion somewhat limited, Shively hopes to dominate the new industry simply by being first in people's minds, he says, through advertising and news conferences. Jeffrey Maron, an economist at the Cato Institute, a conservative think tank, says the marijuana industry is not as large and influential as some investors may hope. "People are way overstating the significance of what's happening," Maron says. "One should be very cautious when there's a big change in the industry, and the magnitude of it is not that huge. It is one product that could compete with billions of products like alcohol and tobacco." Marijuana innovation. The rollout of legal dispensaries, with more than 150 licensed recreational stores in Colorado and Washington expected to hold license lotteries for 334 retail stores, is good news for startups aiming to profit from the growing industry. Most of these companies are privately held, including OpenVape, which makes a device similar to an e-cigarette. The social media site weedmaps.com launched in 2008 and offers a service like Yelp for dispensaries. The privately held company says its 2013 fourth quarter revenue increased 33% from the fourth quarter of 2012. Other ancillary businesses that may benefit from marijuana legalization include Analytical 360 Inches Seattle, which tests marijuana potency, and MediSwipe, which provides transaction processing systems to hospitals and medical dispensaries. Green Grow Tech sells equipment favored among marijuana farmers, such as lighting and hydroponics kits. The risks of marijuana stocks. The Financial Industry Regulatory Authority issued an investor alert in August 2013 warning investors of marijuana stock scams that provide misleading or overly optimistic information. Jerry Walsh, FINRA Senior Vice President, says regulators saw a huge spike in such incidents in January. There was a significant upswing in trading, and share prices spiked in thinly traded companies and low-priced securities, Walsh says. She says investors should look out for red flags such as prior iterations of a business in which the company has used pump-and-dump schemes. In such schemes, fraudsters make exaggerated and misleading claims to raise the share price of a company with little or no history of financial success, then sell their holdings at a profit, leaving other investors holding the bag. Walsh says investors should look up stock symbols using EDGAR, a Securities and Exchange Commission database, to see whether a business has had a past life. Most marijuana stocks have limited track records and trade over-the-counter, which means they are not listed on a national security exchange. They are less liquid, carry more credit risk, and publicly available information about them is often limited, so investors should tread carefully. The business models of these companies vary widely. For example, Seattle-based Planda researches plant extracts and has partnered with Diego Pellicer to create a line of medical cannabis products. Medical Marijuana Incorporated produces cannabinoid-based health and wellness products for the medical marijuana market, and MedBox sells medical dispensing systems designed to prevent unauthorized use of drugs in medical facilities. Creative Edge Nutrition, a nutritional supplement company, sells a line of hemp-based protein powder. Vape Holdings deals in e-cigarettes, vaporizers, and cannabis concentrates. Interest in investing in marijuana stems from a sensible exuberance, says Troy Dayton, CEO of the ArcView Group. People are seeing a large industry going from underground to above ground in a piecemeal fashion, he says, and they're reacting to an opportunity he likens to the dot-com boom. How does the exuberance translate to stocks? It's a bit of a jump of the shark, Dayton says. We will see an increase, but most of it is not accessible to the public market. So there will be small, highly speculative penny stocks, some of which are pump-and-dump stocks. Dayton echoes FINRA's warning about fraudulent activity in some marijuana investments. Scamsters figured out that the public is excited, and most people are unaware that it's happening, he says. Dayton says most of the best investments in the industry are in privately held companies, but there are credible deals in the public space. However, he recommends consulting with a financial advisor or someone who specializes in marijuana-related stocks before investing. The politics of legalization. Growth of the marijuana industry is largely dependent on the pace of legalization. A Gallup poll released in October 2013, which surveyed 1,028 adults in 50 states, shows that Americans' opinions on legalization are changing rapidly. The percentage of those in favor rose 10 percentage points in the past year to 58%, while it only rose 2 percentage points from 1985 to 1997. Evan Nissen, executive director of NORML New Jersey, a nonprofit advocate for marijuana legalization, says if large states like California and New York were to legalize recreational marijuana use, it would raise expectations for national legalization. I believe it will happen in 10 years, but before then, a lot of dominoes will fall. I believe 5 or 6 states could fall by the end of 2016, Nissen says. In November, California voters will have a few ballot measures aimed at legalizing recreational pot use to decide on. Medical marijuana is on the table in New York, where a bill passed the state assembly health committee in January. A few other states considering medical or recreational marijuana legalization are Florida, Alaska, South Carolina, Georgia, and Alabama. While recreational marijuana remains limited to Colorado and Washington, interested investors with plenty of money and financial advice may be able to buy into private companies, which experts say hold the best opportunities. For average investors, however, it's likely to remain difficult and risky to tap into this budding industry.
Article number 3. Marijuana Job Fair attracts hundreds of job seekers. Yes, it is. It's a new industry. Take it away.
Marijuana Job Fair Attracts Hundreds of Job Seekers. By Bruce Kennedy. Source, CBS News. You could forgive the organizers of a canna search event in Denver for appearing a bit shell-shocked, if elated, on Thursday, when they looked at the turnout for what is believed to be the nation's first ever marijuana industry job fair. Tim Cullen, a marijuana entrepreneur who co-owns two cannabis shops in Colorado and is a founding partner of the group hosting Canna Search, stared at the estimated 1,200 people waiting in line, in blustery weather, outside his company's offices. People started showing up about 6 a.m. this morning, for the doors opening at 11 a.m., he said. The line is longer than a block now. Inside, representatives from 15 marijuana-related companies were meeting with job seekers and struggling to be heard above the din. It's been great, said Pete Vasquez, general manager of Medicine Man, a medicinal and recreational marijuana dispensary in Denver. We've had hundreds of people stop by the booth. I have stacks of resumes right here in front of me, lots of cards given out. I'm sure we're going to find a great bunch of people to add to our company. Shannon Foreman, owner of Hemp Temps, a marijuana industry staffing agency, found the response to the job fair nearly overwhelming, but very welcome. We fill positions based on what the need is, she said. Right now the need is outrageous, and we're trying to fill that. 20 states and the District of Columbia have legalized the sale of marijuana for medicinal use. As of January 1st, the sale of recreational cannabis to adults also became legal in Colorado and Washington State. Those changes have not only brought the marijuana industry out of the shadows, but also sparked an industry-wide need for employees, from entry-level bartenders to CPAs and bookkeepers. Back outside, and on a line that stretched around the corner and down a city block, people from all over the country were talking about their plans for working in the cannabis industry. Nelson Lopez, 21, of Belleville, Texas, had decided at the last minute to make the 14-hour drive to Denver with his sister and a family friend. I'm looking for an entry-level position, he said, but it's just being here. It's the first job fair ever for cannabis. Jack Vallon, 27, and dressed for business in a suit and tie, moved to Denver over the weekend from Chicago, where he spent the last 6 months trying to find work. I have a hospitality degree, so I've been looking in the hotels, casinos, sales positions, he said. I'm just looking all over. Vallon said he's not sure what kind of job he expects to find in the cannabis trade. It's more about just coming out here, he said, getting my name, using what credentials I've got from working in a cash-based industry in Chicago to get my foot in the door somewhere, at least. Others waiting online had more specific goals. Missouri native Tony Chambers, who lives outside of Kansas City, wants to work in cannabis-related healthcare. I believe in the medical use of this, very much, she said. Chambers worked in California for several years as an in-home caretaker, and says she's seen the positive benefits of marijuana for patients with a variety of ailments. I want to be able to take care of people that believe in this, and even people that don't, that think that it's a problem, that it's a drug, and show them that it's not, she said. Chambers, married and a mother of two young children, says her family is planning on moving to Colorado in the next several months. For his part, Tim Cullen believes the tepid economic recovery has played a role in the success of Canna Search. But I also think it's a new frontier, he added, noting that his group is already scheduling their next job fair. Cannabis legalization in Colorado has gotten a lot of news, and there are people who are willing to relocate and come to Colorado to be a part of this.
Article number 4. Entrepreneurs say alternative Canef hemp crops could be boon for small-scale farmers. Take it away.
Entrepreneur says alternative Canef hemp crops could be boon for small-scale farmers. By Elizabeth Adams. Source, KY Forward. The crops Canef and hemp have a long list of uses, from biofuels to string fibers to chicken bedding. But Martin Smith believes the most important purpose for these plants will be to create new economic opportunities for small-scale farmers in Kentucky and in developing communities around the world. Smith, who heads up the Lawrenceburg-based company United Global Co-Opportunities, conducts research on alternative crops Canef and hemp, which have more than 25,000 possible uses. Both hemp and Canef are fiber-bearing tropical plants in the Conibus family. In addition to being sources for paper, plywood, animal feed, human food, clothing and burlap, the crops have the capability of producing biofuel alternatives. The crops can also be used as an inexpensive means of producing electricity. It's obviously the wave of the future when you think about all the things that are failing to supply our needs on a large scale, Martin said of growing the crops. the timing is perfect to implement small-scale production models not just here, but globally. Currently, Ford Motor Company is using CANAF in the door panels of its Ford Escape, and other car manufacturers, including Toyota, are experimenting with these materials as well. Hemp has also been used in sustainable hempcrete houses, which have shown to improve heating and cooling efficiency. Smith's company is currently working on a project to create energy-efficient hempcrete houses for communities in Appalachia. Growing up on a few acres in the Ozark Mountains, Smith developed an appreciation for small-scale farmers. He was exposed to agricultural challenges throughout the world during his time in the Navy. The mission of his company, which he established in December 2012, is to offer an on-farm production model for CANAF and hemp that will support the minority farmer. He is in the process of developing a 75-acre CANAF operation and greenhouse pilot project in Eminence with the goal of creating partnerships to support other Kentucky operations. Already, the United States imports more than $4 billion of twine annually. Smith's company is developing a model so farmers can produce these crops in Kentucky to add value to their businesses. Based on this model, United Global Co-Opportunities will provide the technology and resources to help farmers take the crops to the marketplace. The small farmer is in great jeopardy, and this is the way for them to make the largest splash in the marketplace right here on our Kentucky farms, Smith said. Smith said there are opportunities to expand the production to developing countries, such as Ghana and Haiti, where struggling communities can benefit by participating in the co-op. The program, called Seeds for Needs, would encourage sustainable economies and create an economy that Smith said doesn't currently exist in the United States. Eventually, Smith envisions a global network of co-ops that will be tied back to Kentucky. These applications will be applied to countries around the world that are in lack, so that those communities will have some of the same opportunities as we do, and they will get to enjoy many of the things we may take for granted, Smith said.
All right, my listeners, that's all I have for this episode. Till next episode, have a good day, good night, good week. Bye-bye. Mm-hmm.